Section 4. Feudal Societies.
If you were there. You want to be a squire, a young person who trains to be a knight. Your best friend thinks you are foolish. He says that you'll have to swear a vow of loyalty to your lord, and you'll have to fight in battles for him. Your sister told you that you will have to follow a strict code of honor. But you still want to be a knight. Why do you want to be a knight?
Building background. Knights were an important part of feudal society. People who wanted to be knights did have to swear vows of loyalty, fight in battles, and follow a code of honor. But European knights were not the only people who had to live by these rules. Half a world away, Japanese samurai lived under similar obligations. In fact, if you look at these two societies, you will see that many striking similarities existed between them. Feudal societies share common elements. Feudalism was not unique to Europe. As you have already read, the Japanese developed a very similar system halfway around the world from Europe at about the same time. But how similar were the two societies? Lords and vassals. In Europe, the basis for the feudal system was land. Kings and lords gave land to knights. In return, the knights promised to serve their lords and fight for them when necessary. Many knights owned large manors. Peasants and serfs worked on the manors and paid the lords in food. A very similar system existed in Japan. There, the emperor gave land to great lords who were later called daimyo. In turn, these lords employed warriors called samurai. Like European knights, the samurai promised to serve and fight for their lords. In exchange, the samurai received rice and grain. Lords got the grain from peasants who farmed their land. Peasants had to pay their lords in grain. Knights and samurai. The lives of knights and samurai were, in many ways, very similar. Both had to swear vows of loyalty to their lords. These lords expected them to fight well and to be fearless in battle. The lords also expected their knights or samurai to live disciplined and honorable lives. Both European knights and Japanese samurai had to follow strict codes of honor that governed how they behaved. You have already learned about Bushido, the Japanese code of the samurai. Europeans call their code of honorable behavior for knights chivalry. Like Bushido, chivalry required knights to be brave and loyal, but humble and modest at the same time. It also required them to be kind and generous when dealing with people, especially women. Because of their loyalty and dedication, both knights and samurai were greatly admired by other members of their societies. This admiration can often be seen in literary descriptions of the men, such as this description of the French knight Roland and his comrades, who are greatly outnumbered by their enemies. The battle is fearful and full of grief. Oliver and Roland strike like good men. The archbishop, more than 1,000 blows, and the 12 peers do not hang back. They strike. The French fight side by side, all as one man. The pagans die by hundreds, by thousands. Whoever does not flee finds no refuge from death. Like it or not, there he ends his days. From the Song of Roland, translated by Frederick Golden. Even though Roland and the others were almost certain that they would die, they continued to fight. They became heroes, admired for their courage and bravery. The Japanese also admired their warriors for their courage. A passage from a Japanese text shows a similar admiration for warriors fighting impossible odds. Where Naazone galloped, Sueshige followed. Where Sueshige galloped, Naazone followed. Neither willing to be outdone, they dashed in by turns, whipping their horses and attacking until the sparks flew. Naazone pulled out the arrows that were lodged in his own armor, tossed them aside, faced the stronghold with a scowl, and shouted in a mighty voice, "I am Naazone, the man who left Kamakura last winter, determined to give his life for Lord Yoritomo. Confront me! Confront me!" From The Tale of the Heike, translated by Helen Craig McCullough. Europe and Japan differ. Although European and Japanese societies were the same in some ways, in most ways they were not. Their two cultures were also very different. Perhaps the main difference between medieval Europeans and Japanese was religion. Nearly all Europeans were Christian, while the Japanese blended elements of Buddhism, Shinto, and Confucianism. European and Japanese religions taught very different ways of looking at the world. People in those places, therefore, did not act the same way. The differences between Europe and Japan can also be seen in the artistic forms popular in each place. European art in the Middle Ages dealt mostly with religious themes. Paintings showed scenes from the Bible, and writers tried to inspire people with stories about great Christians. In Japan, on the other hand, most art dealt with natural themes. Paintings of nature were common, and people built many gardens. Buildings blended with nature rather than standing out. Japanese literature also celebrated nature. For example, Japanese poets in the 1600s created haiku, short three-line poems of 17 syllables that describe nature scenes. Here is one example of haiku. Very soon they die, but of that there is no sign in the locust cry. Matsuo Basho, from Anthology of Japanese Literature, edited by Donald Keen. Although European and Japanese feudal systems seemed similar, the cultures that lay behind them were different. Still, it is remarkable to think that feudal systems so similar could exist so far apart. Summary and Preview. In this section, you learned how to compare feudalism in Europe and Japan. Although both Europe and Japan had feudal societies, there were many differences in the two societies. Feudalism lasted much longer in Japan than it did in Europe, not disappearing until the 1800s. In the next chapter, you will learn about how European society changed after feudalism disappeared in the later Middle Ages. One major change was the growing importance of religion. But first, review the main ideas of this section. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions. Before moving on, your teacher may want you to apply your knowledge by completing the Social Studies Skills and Standards Review exercises. The Standards Assessment exercise will give you additional practice using what you've learned.